530, challenge to all of us, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. 530. You sing that third stanza with me. Ladies, please join us when we get to the refrain. Down in the human heart.
Christianity is a missionary religion. Those words we just sang were written by Fanny Crosby, and she certainly knew the meaning of them. She lived them out. She could have lived in a much better part of town than she did, but she chose to dwell in the poorer section of the city because of the rescue operation with which her whole life was involved. And what an example that is to us. And we certainly have plenty that we can minister to. We're glad you're here today. This is the Lord's Day, and we trust that you will sense the Lord's presence and will enjoy the love of God's people. I hope you'll find opportunity among all these people to minister to someone today with the Savior's love. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, or even for the first time in a while, we want to welcome you as our special guest. We are kicking off our missions conference today, and we're in for a good half week of blessing. And so today's a special day, and we're glad that you're here. If you would take one of the visitor's cards out from the pew rack in front of you and fill that out, hold on to it until the offering plates come by and drop that in, we would very much appreciate it. We'd like to have a record that you are here and have a chance then to visit with you again at a good time. We also want to note that Harvey Reimers and his wife are celebrating their 50th anniversary this week, and with the Reimers are their whole family, and I think they're all sitting together. Would you all just stand? There's quite a number of you, I understand. Yes. Now, if our families could all fill a row, you know, we'd... Very good. Good to have you all here today. What a blessing. What a blessing. All right. Well, this is our last week to go through our Proverbs on good men and the blessing they are to their children. Proverbs 20, 6 and 7 are our memory verses for this month. Proverbs 20, 6 and 7. And once we get there, we'll say the reference together. We'll say the verse and then the reference again. This is our last chance to do it well. All right. Proverbs 20, 6 and 7. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Proverbs 20, 6 and 7.
And as we look around this building, you've seen many flags that are flying, and we are going to have part of our missions conference, a flag quiz. And we have special prizes, you know we do, if you should accomplish a correct sheet. So we'd like to encourage any of you to pick up a sheet in the ministry area, and that sheet has blanks, and then fill those out if you're able to identify all of these flags. And you are permitted to use encyclopedia or anything, any other manner that you may need. But we trust that that will help you in getting to know the countries of where our missionaries are presently serving. And then there's also a special opportunity with our missions conference in the hallways, leaving this wing and going into the school wing, where you're able to note different displays by our missionaries. And they've done quite a bit of work on these. And they will be there before the services and after the services. And they need to get home sometime at night to get some sleep before the next day. But we'd really like for you to get to know these special seven families that are here with us this week. Get to know them better, their needs, their blessings, and we trust this will just be an enriching time. In the same area, there's a special Christmas tree that our Women for Mission have a special project this year. And instead of the additional postage costing that is taking place these days, and also being able to help our missionaries perhaps by giving them a monetary gift instead of actual gifts and milk cartons. They have a different idea this year, and you can go to the ministry area, go to that tree, choose an ornament from off the tree, and that'll tell you what gift would be able to help that family in the greatest way. And so you can go by and talk to them about that. That will help in a great way. And then beginning tomorrow night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, our services will start at 7 o'clock. So please, if you come at 7:30, you're already in the middle of the first session. So please come at 7, and we'd like to have you be here. We'll open in this building. Then tomorrow night, we have our special cultural encounter. And if you haven't been to one of those, you've missed a real treat. If you've been to one, I know that you'll be back tomorrow night, as these seven different countries that are represented will be sharing their tidbits that make their encounter unique. And so I trust you'll be here for that. Then we'll have a session tomorrow night. Tomorrow night also, from 6 to 7, and then from following the service, from 8:50 to 9:50, the Men for Mission Warehouse will be having an open house for all of you to be able to stop by and see really what goes on down there. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I have a feeling there's some of you that have never taken the plunge down the hill to see what all's down there. And there's a lot of work that takes place. A lot of our missionaries around this world, even missionaries that we have never seen here, have had their goods created here and shipped to their country. And I trust that you can be down there and note what's taking place. And I know it'll allow you to even pray more fervently for the ministry there. And then on Tuesday in the morning at 6:30, there's a special men's breakfast. I'd like to encourage you to sign up for that in the ministry center. And then the ladies have luncheon at noon. And we'd like to encourage you ladies to be part of that as well. And then as far as our elementary age children, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings, I know it's in the little brochure, but I just wanted to highlight that this morning. Elementary age children will be having special meetings in A206. That's the choir room. So as we break out into our general sessions, they will have a meeting in there tomorrow night and Tuesday. We'll all be here together on Wednesday for a panel discussion. The missionaries will be given their questions in advance, and that way they can be prepared for answering them. And that leads me to say, if you have a special question, perhaps you sat in some sessions this morning, or perhaps you have some question you'd like to ask the missionary, please write that down and put that either in the offering plate with my name on it, or leave it at the reception desk for me, and then I'll be giving these to these missionaries, and then they'll be answering them that evening. I believe that takes care of all this information regarding our missions conference. I trust you'll be here each opportunity you can all the way through Wednesday night.
Well, thank Pastor Lehman for all of the planning that he's done in regard to the missions conference, and I hope that you will take advantage of this opportunity to share in this time. I would remind you that next Sunday, the Lapiskas will be with us. Pastor Brad Lapiska, who is our youth pastor, it'll be 10 years since he came back from the Gulf War, and we're going to have a good time next week. Hope you're planning to be here for that. Seems very fitting this morning that we dedicate a new missionary on this first day of our missions conference. I don't know if she is in a mood for it or not, but we're going to try. This is Michaela Joyce Roxanne Cornelius. She's the daughter of Randy and Charlene Cornelius. And we have her siblings here with her. As you notice, the Corneliuses now have a full ladies basketball team and one substitute coming along here. But we're grateful for the Corneliuses serving down in the Harbor Light of the Windwards. Since Roland went to be with the Lord, Randy has been the number one man there on the staff. And we're grateful for the work that's being done and for the many, many people that are being reached through the Harbor Light of the Windwards. This young lady is the granddaughter of Dr. and Mrs. Al Isaac. And she's also the granddaughter of Arlene Cornelius, who also serves down in Carriacou. Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray? Okay, we're going to have a word of prayer. Well, let's have a word of prayer on behalf of Michaela. Lord, what a joy it is to have all these missionaries with us for this conference. Special joy to have the Corneliuses here. Thank you for the Cornelius family, for Roland and Arlene, and for how you've used them over the years and how you're continuing to use Arlene, even though Roland is now with thee. And thank you for their children and for their grandchildren. And we come this morning for this special dedication of Michaela. Thank you for her and for bringing her into this family. And Lord, for the desire these people have for her to be publicly dedicated to thee and to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of your word. And I pray that as she reaches the age of accountability and knowing that she is a sinner, that she will open her heart and receive Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. I pray then, Lord, she will go on to live for thee and that you will protect her and watch over her in a very wicked world. Put a hedge of protection about her, and may her heart's desire be to follow in thy ways. If it's your will to bring her to adulthood, I pray, Lord, that she would follow in your will, and that she might be a true servant of thine. So on this first morning of this special missions conference, it's a joy to publicly dedicate Michaela unto thee now. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you so much. This being the last Sunday of the month, it's our day for two offerings. The first one will be for our regular budget needs, and the second one, without further announcement, will be for our loose change offering. Thank you so much for your part in the regular offering and also in the loose change offering going this year toward the church in Poland, where Pastor Chunkowski is the pastor. As you came in today, or maybe it was after you came in, but anyhow, as you go out, you're going to see a cement mixer. And you might wonder if we're starting on the activity center a little bit early here. But this cement mixer is going to be our project for our missionary conference offering. Now, today, everything will go into our regular offerings. But Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, all that comes in the offerings, both in the main session and the children's sessions, unless it's designated for something else, will go toward the purchase of this cement mixer, which will be taken down to Haiti to the clinic operated by Dr. Ann Livingston, one of our missionaries. Paul Whitfield has taken this clinic as a project. He has made many trips to Haiti. He and others have worn out the present cement mixer. So we would like to get the funds for this, and I'll be able to let you know tonight exactly what it will cost. It's somewhere between $2,500 and $3,000. So we'll get what we can. We'd like to get it all. If we can't, we'll just get what we can toward this project. So not today, but keep in mind for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday for this special project. Bonnie Eberlein remains in the hospital, as does Hubert Joyner. And Sarah Hatchell had gallbladder surgery on Friday. She was in Greenville Memorial as well. Chuck Mears had a sonogram. Got a good report from that. Audrey Bruce had a heart catheterization on Monday and some stress tests on Thursday and Friday. Paul Hess will be having cataract surgery tomorrow. Ron Telepetri is continuing to improve. He had a test on Thursday to see whether his throat was healed, that he would be able to swallow and take food again. Not had a report on that since that test, but let's keep on remembering him. I want to pray for ourselves that God will use this as a very special conference for us to bless our hearts and to challenge us in regard to this great task of getting the gospel out to the ends of the earth. God has given us great opportunities. And great opportunities, of course, bring great responsibilities. And we don't want to neglect this task that God has put before us and this privilege that God has put before us of sharing the gospel with people around the world. Hope you'll be praying. Hope you'll be here as often as you can. Pastor Brian Johns, our youth pastor, will come and lead us in our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house and to hear your word preached today. Pray that as you have seen fit to give us the opportunity to have a missions conference this week, that you will use this conference to work in each one of our hearts, that we would be more willing than ever to share the precious gift of the gospel that you have given us, that we would be more willing than ever to pray more fervently for these missionaries that you've entrusted to us, that we would be more willing to give and give in a much greater way. Thank you for the project that you have sent for Pastor Chomkowski and the needs there. And we would ask that through the second offering that you would provide the money that he needs to expand the ministry there in Haiti. And we pray that through the time of the missions conference this week that you would bring in the funds for that. We do thank you for the privilege that we have to be exposed to these different missionaries this week. And we would ask that you would use each one of the sessions to work in our hearts, to make us more pliable in your hands, more ready to share the gospel. We think of those who are still in the hospital, and we ask that you would continue to work in their bodies, bless and strengthen and encourage them, we pray. We ask for this offering, that you would take it and multiply it as you did with the loaves and fishes, that it may accomplish the work that you would have for it to do. We ask all this in our precious Lord's name. Amen.
Thank you.
want to thank Michael Dodgins for his beautiful ministry to us in the offertory today. And I trust the music has been a blessing to your heart as we prepare ourselves for the message of the morning. Let's turn together to 377. 377. We're going to sing just the first and the last stanza. Stanzas 1 and 3 of O Jesus, I promise to serve thee to the end. We trust that's your prayer and your statement of dedication to the Lord. 377, shall we stand please once again to sing? Stanza, please, without the instruments. Would you be seated, please?
This is a service from Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and I'm Pastor Dave Yearing. Mike Dodgins has been a friend of ours for a long time. He began coming to our home when he was in high school, as he was a good friend with our children. And we have watched him mature as a Christian. We're so thankful for what God has done in his life, and for how God is using the Dodgins, not only Mike, but his entire family over in Spain. Mike gave me the opportunity to be the best man in his wedding when he and Madeline got married. And he couldn't find anybody else to do it, and I said I would be glad to do it. No, I was honored by it. Madeline taught for us a couple of years here at Hampton Park Christian School. So we're looking forward to what God has for us through Mike Dodgins this morning. And after our special music with Tim Chevalier and Dick Knox, he'll come and share with us God's Word.
When I came to Jesus with my load of sin, He became my Savior, gently took me in. Then I made Him master, took Him at His word. Joy and peace possessed me when I called Him Lord. I have made Him Lord forever in my heart. Where He leads me, I am at His call. Privileged to serve Him as He commands me. I have crowned Him Lord of all. I have now committed every precious thing, recognizing Jesus as my Lord and King. time and tithe and talent, now with joy I bring. Only since I've yielded can I truly sing. How could I but love him since he died for me? Can I fail to serve him since he set me free? Comes a certain answer as his grace I see. All I have is thine, Lord, for eternity. I have made him Lord forever in my heart. Where he leads me, I am at his call. Privilege to serve him as he commands me. I have crowned him Lord.
Pastor, don't go far. I'm getting a little nervous here looking out. You might want to read my message for me. It's a great privilege for me to be here this morning. And I am a little bit nervous, to tell you the truth. Our church in Spain, we could put in maybe the first three or four rows here. And that's what I'm accustomed to preaching to. But it's great to know that we've been blessed already this morning by ministry of these people singing, and I know that people have been praying for me, and so I pray that the Lord's blessing will continue as He speaks to us through His Word. I'd like for us to turn in our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 10. We'll read some verses and then have a word of prayer. Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'll begin reading in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord, the Lord thy God. The earth also, with all that is therein, is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, thou shalt serve, and to him thou shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're present, you're with us this morning. I thank you that we have your word to look to guide us. And Father, this morning, as we are thinking in terms of missions, of serving you around the world, I pray that you would help our eyes to be focused on what you require of each one of us, what you have for us right here in our own daily lives. Lord, may we focus on what we're doing to serve you. And I thank you, Lord, for your great power. I thank you for your great mercy, for the privilege to serve you. And I pray that you would bless in this morning, guide and direct, and may your Holy Spirit speak to us. And we'll give you the praise and glory for what is done. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, Israel, what does God require of you? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord. This is a passage that for actually many months I've been reading and studying. I preached a series of messages, and I think my greatest challenge in preparing this morning was to think, how am I to reduce this? But obviously, I was drawn to the phrase, to serve the Lord with all thy heart. With our conference theme being serving God around the world, I wanted to concentrate on that. And I wish to make an observation. I wish to stress something that to me seems so important before we go on and talk about this service to the Lord and how we serve him. And that is, if the church of God, the church of Christ, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to serve the world, is going to have an impact, then she must be right with God. That seems very basic, but it's so true, and I think we get away from what is our individual responsibility of being pure and holy, because you and I make up this body of Christ in this morning. It's a little bit overwhelming for me to come here and speak to this church in terms of missions and about serving the Lord around the world, because I know what your testimony is before the world. And we're not here to try to build up anyone this morning or build up a church. We're here to build up the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord knows your work. He knows what you've done. But I also know that we are living in a day when Satan is attacking more and more at the very foundations of our churches. And I want to address myself to you this morning as an individual member, as a member of the body of Christ, remembering that great passage in Ephesians where Christ is compared, the relationship of Christ with the church, with that of the husband and the wife, where it says, "Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Are we here this morning with that desire to be clean, to be sanctified, to be set apart? We are sanctified by God, by the Holy Spirit, but that's a positional thing. Then it is to each one of us the responsibility to set ourselves apart, to sanctify ourselves for serving the Lord. And that's what Christ gave his life for. That you and I would this morning be here with our hearts clean, sanctified, with a desire to be used of him, holy and without blemish. And for the church, for this church or any church, to have an impact on the world in missions, we must be clean. We must be pure. In this passage, this morning, it spells out specifically to us what God wants of us. Now, it's to the Old Testament tribe, to the tribes, to the children of Israel. But we're going to see that it's very much for you and me this morning. And as I said, it's a humbling experience for me. And please understand that when I studied this passage, when I was going through this message, I prepared it for me, because I know what kind of servant I am. I know my weaknesses. And it's been a very humbling experience to study, especially in this area of a servant. And I pray this morning that God will speak to our hearts about to each one of us as far as our role as being servants and what kind of servants we are. I have no problems this morning in knowing that this church knows what missions is all about. I know that you don't consider missions as being sending someone to some place to minister to somebody that you don't know. I know that you realize that's not just missions. Many of you in this church have sacrificed, you have given, you have invested your time, your money, your energies, and have gone to places. You've gone and ministered. And that's what missions is all about. And we all know that we are to give. We all know that we're to pray and we're to go. And it's not an either-or option, because we can all be praying, we can all be giving, and we can all be going. And I qualify that going because some will say, yeah, but, you know, I'm very limited. I can only do this much. I have a physical limitation or a financial limitation. But that is not the kind of going I'm talking about. We can always all be giving. And I'm not talking just in the terms of financial giving. We can always all be giving of ourselves. And that's what God wants of us. And this morning, as we look at this passage, I want us to focus on not so much serving around the world, but what we're doing as individuals serving in the world where we live in. You know, we are the body of Christ. We've been given gifts. We've been given talents to serve in the body. That is a mutual edification. That is a mutual serving in love, one to the other. You serving your brother or sister in Christ. But that service is for the edification of this church, that this church might be strong and grow and mature, so that then our lives count where service is greatly needed. Out beyond these walls, out in your neighborhood, out where you live, where you work, where you go to school. You know, when we talk about going, we're not talking about necessarily going to a foreign country. You know that. We're talking about going out beyond what many of us sometimes have as a comfort zone. And you know, even a missionary can build up his comfort zone. He knows that he has a certain ministry, but then he has that ministry and that becomes his area. And we live in that world. We live in that comfort zone. And Christ teaches us anything but living within that comfort zone. Read again that verse. What does God require of thee? Let's see this morning what it is He requires of us. But first, and there's so much here, and I recognize that I have to concentrate on one aspect, that of serving, and serving with all the heart. But before I go on, I feel we must touch base with some things to establish a foundation. Some might say this morning, what right does God have to require that of me? And if anyone is here this morning with that in their mind, I would question if they're truly the children of God, a child of God. I know that we all mature and we come to that process of realizing that now God has brought me to the point where I want to serve Him. I can see that so much in my life. Pastor referred to our long friendship, relationship. And many of you know me. Many of you know how God has worked in my life. And I can tell you that over the years it's been a process that for me has been exciting to see how He has guided from one step to another, but not so much in what He's done through me, but what He's done in me. That's the real marvel to me, what God has done in changing my life and preparing me and actually putting in me a desire to serve Him and to live for Him. And I recognized when I got saved that God had something for me. In fact, He actually used a comment that my freshman speech teacher made to me. Anybody want to guess who that might have been? She said, Mrs. Yerrick, have you ever thought about being a teacher? And at the time, I laughed that one off because that was the furthest thing from my mind. But God used that one comment. And later on, I was a teacher. But He continued to work and carry me forward to a point where I was willing and wanting to serve Him. And that's where I see that so many of us are. We understand our relationship to God. We say we love Him. But are our lives really counting for Him? Do we really serve Him? And God has continually been working to bring me to the point of being a true servant. But I don't speak to you this morning so much from an experiential position. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. And the Lord, and the reason this passage has been so dear to me is that in the last year, He has especially been working on teaching me what kind of servant I really am and where I should be. But, you know, that process in my life, it came to a point where I recognized God had a right to require something of me. In this passage we read this morning, in these verses, God gives us a fourfold reason for why He has the right. And I just briefly point those out to us in the verses that we've read. In verse 14, God has a right to require something of us because He's our Creator. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord, Lord thy God. the earth also, and all that is therein. And who can deny the greatness of his power, all his creation? And I recognize that even as Christians, sometimes we might ask, but really, God, why would you require this of me? Is it enough that I'm saved and I know you as my Savior? But God is my Creator, and he has a right to require something of me. And then the second thing, he is God of gods, verse 17, and Lord of lords, the great and mighty and terrible, awesome God. And he has a right to require something of me. Do you know him as that awesome God working in your life and showing you his way? And then the third reason, verses 21 and 22, refers to his great works. Moses has been talking to the children of Israel in this passage in the book. He did a review of what God had done for Israel. He told them about their great deliverance. And then from chapter 4 and on, he began to talk to them about what God would require of them, and even became prophetical in the end of the book, telling what he would do. But he is now talking about this requirement, and he's giving them the rules. He's telling them, God has done these things. He has shown his great power, and now he expects something of you. And he says in verse 22, I got ahead of myself. But he talked about this great deliverance. And you and I also can look back and see that deliverance that we've had. We can see the work that God has done in saving us. And it's the same as for Israel. And then the fourth reason is his great love. Verses 21 and 22. He is thy praise. And it talks about, in verse 15, it talks about only the God had a delight in thy fathers to love them. And he loved them and he chose them. But if you read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, what does it say? Ye are a chosen generation. It's talking about you and I. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, God has the right. But when we begin to consider what he requires of us, when we begin to see what he is saying that we should do to serve him, then we begin to see that it's only the right thing, it's only the just thing, and that you and I are the great beneficiaries of God's work. He says in the end of the verse, it is for thy good. It is for your good. And so this morning, God has a right. We can call it our duty to God. But couldn't we just stop and think of that more as our delight instead of being our duty when we consider all that God has done for us? Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. And those words came from the mouth of Christ when he was ministering on the earth. In John chapter 4, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Now, my meat, my substance, my delight, if we would. And that was Jesus' heart. And that's what God is wanting from us. And in verse 12, and in the first part of 13, it gives us five things. To fear God, and these are the requirements. God has the right to require, and these are the requirements. To fear God, to walk in all his ways, to love him with all thy heart, to serve him with all thy heart, and to keep his commandments. Time doesn't permit for us to go into these. But again, I feel that for us to understand what true service is, our service that will have an impact, we must stop and take these one by one. We won't have time to discuss them one by one, but we must talk about them. To fear God, and it's something that we will come back to when we're discussing some of the characteristics of the service, but we must fear God. And we don't see that today. I don't know if it's a brand of clothing or I'm really not sure where I've seen this, but in Spain I was seeing a lot of T-shirts and things that said, no fear. Is that something here or is that in Europe? No fear? Is that a brand of clothing or I don't know what it is. But I was seeing this in Spain and it said, no fear. And I thought, yeah, that's interesting. But what does that mean? Because that's the attitude of the world, especially in the relationship to God. But it's not new. Paul said in Romans 3, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And he was quoting the Old Testament. That's just an attitude that's been around. There is no fear of God. And you and I are called to fear our God. Do we fear Him? Do we understand what that means? I've asked several people. Since I've been home, I've been asking people when I've been in conversation, what does it mean to you to fear God? And it's been very interesting, the responses, a number of responses. There's that classic definition talking of the reverential trust accompanied by a hatred of evil. And that's true. Fearing God is that reverence. And thinking of His power and who He is and the fact that He has chosen me, He has called me to be His child. And that fear of disappointing Him, of wanting to do His will, but knowing that He is almighty. He is sovereign in my life. Someone said that the fear of God is living with the consciousness of His presence. He sees me. He's with me. And you know, that can be very uncomfortable, or it can be of great comfort. What is it for you this morning? And do you really understand this fear of the Lord? It's not Old Testament duty. It's New Testament teaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And I submit that if we're going to serve God and serve Him as we should, we must have this fear. And then he says to walk in all His ways. Do we walk in all His way? Do we recognize that His way is best? I had a beautiful experience when we were in Spain many years ago. I took a group of boys to the Pyrenees Mountains. And we were there to hike, just to be in an area. We camped in the valley of Pineta. And one day we had planned that we would hike up to a point they called the Balcony of Pineta, where there was a view of a frozen lake and then off to the other side, a glacier. And we began early in the morning following this trail. This is a national park. The trail was well marked and very obvious in the beginning. As we got higher and higher, we were tired. The air was thinner. And this trail did not seem to be so obvious. We're looking up and we really don't see where we're supposed to be going. We know that there's our target, but now we're heading this way. Many times we left that trail looking for what we thought was the trail. And we came to drop-offs, sheer rock cliffs, and we said, this is not the way. And it was turn around, go back, find the trail until someone found a painted mark or a stack of rocks. And we said, hey, over this way, let's go. And we hiked and hiked, and we were dead tired. We stopped for lunch, fell asleep for 30 minutes, and continued on. And by this time we're up, going back and forth on what was a wild goat trail. And soon we crossed a patch of snow and walked out on a small, level area. And there we were, in the balcony of Pineta. And it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. The scenery, incredible. Looking down to where we'd been camping, on down through the valley. One of the guys said, hey, come here and look at this. He was over looking down where we'd come up. And what do you think he saw? He saw this path that from our viewpoint at that moment was very clear. We could see it all the way down. And we could see, even in the parts where it was very rocky and been so indistinct to us coming up, from that perspective, that path was clear. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, my way is perfect. And I have a viewpoint, Mike, in your life that you don't have. And I want to guide you. And when I lead you to go into a certain area, I could not even begin to imagine serving Him as a missionary in Spain when I was in high school or college. And some of you also were wondering. Someone commented that when they heard I was a missionary, that really took them by surprise. Lord is good. Lord is great. And His way is perfect. And He says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And so when God calls us and He shows us something to do, we need to obey Him. We need to walk in all His ways because His ways are perfect. And then we come to that part where it says to love Him with all thy heart. These are all messages in themselves. But do we love the Lord? Do we recognize that He has loved us first and He's given so much for us? How can we do less than to return that love in serving Him? And greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. But Jesus Christ laid down his life for us when we were not even his friends. We were still sinners. And so we need to fear God as a great God, but we need to love him as our good God and our heavenly Father. Do you love him? Do you want to serve him? And then we come down to serving with all our heart. Really the crux of the message. Do you love God? And do you serve him with all your heart? And there are certain characteristics that go along with the service. There is the serving with joy. There is the serving with fear. And that was very interesting to me to see those verses in the scriptures. Psalm 2:11, serve the Lord with fear. Hebrews 12:28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. See, if we begin serving God without that fear, our joy becomes a very flippant and shallow type of joy. If we take that joy away from our fear of God. But if we take away the joy from the fear of God, then our service to him just becomes slavish. It becomes something we do out of fear. And that's not what God wants. He wants us to serve him with joy. And he wants us to serve us with a fervency, doing it with all our heart. It says of Hezekiah, he did it with all his heart and prospered, talking about the things he did, the reforms that he did in the service of the house of God. And it says he did it, he sought God, did it with all his heart, and prospered. And that's just a rule of our society, that a man who gives his 100% best is going to prosper. And he will be known to prosper among men. How can we do less for our Lord Jesus than to serve him with all our heart and to serve him with joy, serve him with fear, and serve him with humility? Paul said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of Jews. And that was Paul's life, serving the Lord with all humility. But I think in terms of these characteristics, we could sum them all up and look to the servant of servants, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I close down the message. I'm not finished. But we end thinking about the Lord Jesus, who he was, his life, his service. I think of that passage in John chapter 13. I invite you to turn there. John 13. Verse 1, and now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. This is always impress me that Christ, on this eve of his suffering, when he knew he would be betrayed and then go before these mock trials and suffer so greatly, that night, when he knew his hour was come, there was no time clock for the Lord. He didn't say, I've done my part, and that's it. It said he loved them into the end. And I just think when we talk about serving the Lord with our heart, do we serve him with a time clock? Yeah, I said, you know, we missionaries sometimes have our little comfort zone. And we say, I've done this and I've done that. And now, Lord, this is my time. And this is true for a pastor, anyone in full-time work. We think, now, Lord, just this is my time. But Jesus Christ, on one of the most agonizing nights of his life, he's still thinking of serving. He's still thinking of loving. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. We know then that there was this encounter with Peter. And then it continues on in verse 12, and it says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken their garments, his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. What an example. What do we see Christ doing this? Do we understand the customs of that day, the washing of the feet that seems such so rare to us? We live in a very dusty climate. I understand dirty feet. But to think about washing someone's feet is very humbling for us. And who really should have been doing it? If they were in someone's home, as Christ was in Simon the Pharisee's home, and this sinful woman came in and began washing his feet, there was criticism. But Christ criticized Simon the Pharisee, saying, you should have done that. You didn't give me water. And she's here washing my feet, doing your job. And Christ could have easily said, I'm the master, and picked the lowliest of his disciples and said, hey, let's clean the feet. But Christ got up and he served. There was no time clock. There was no barrier. He told us, he says, I did not come to be ministered to. I did not come to be served. I came to serve. And brethren, friends, you know, that to me speaks when I think of what kind of servant I am. And I think, you know, I just come to a point and I say no more. And I want my time. I want my rights. But Jesus didn't have that. He served and loved until the end. And he sacrificed. And he made this example for his disciples. And he taught us. He says, you've seen what I've done. Now you do it. And if we're to have an impact in this town, in our neighborhoods, even in our homes, we all have unsaved loved ones. Do we serve them a real service that meets those needs? The Good Samaritan, Christ used that as an example of what it was to truly love and to be a true neighbor, where that man crossed all the cultural barriers and he got his hands dirty and it cost him his time and his money. But he met a need. He served someone. Someone that really he had no business even having contact with. And we so many times think that's not really my responsibility. And I just close saying we are servants. We've been called. God has the right to require of us what he does. And he says, I want you to fear me. I want you to walk in all my ways. I want you to serve me and love me with all your heart. And you know, when we see that there's so much need in the world, but it starts right here. I see on the streets of Greenville such an increased population of people from all over the world. God has brought the world to us. And we can serve them. We can meet that need. And when we see someone and think, oh, that poor person, and we don't reach out and do what we can, we're quenching the Holy Spirit. And we're not really being servants of God. You say, but we just can't do everything. I just ask you, have you been touched at some point this past week where you saw something, you saw a need, and you felt the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you could have. I'm rebuked because I have had that experience. And I pray that we would see that we are servants of God and that we're to reach out around the world. If this church is to have an impact, it comes right down to you and I being true servants, recognizing God's right and what he requires, and seeing the requirements of how we should serve him and the fervency with how we should serve him, and that we would be used as his servants. May we not let opportunities go by. May we recognize that there's great reward. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We don't want to deceive ourselves in thinking we've done something when we haven't. And we don't want to deceive ourselves in thinking that we're getting away with something. But God gives great promise of that harvest if we will continually and faithfully serve him, and that our labor is not in vain, and that We're not to be weary in well-doing, but there is a reward. And my challenge is that we will all just be God's servants and that we will continue to do what we're doing, but we will examine ourselves and say, have I put a time clock on my life? Have I put restrictions on myself? Have I resisted the Holy Spirit in how I've served? And that we would be faithful to continue on serving the Lord, because our time is short. We don't know how much longer we have to serve Him. We don't know our circumstances for serving Him. But I just pray that we would all strive to be the best servants possible. Heavenly Father, this morning I know in my weakness, this message has not been what I would want it to be. But I thank You, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit is powerful, that You're able to penetrate hearts, You're able to speak to hearts. And Lord, You know what is in the heart of each person here this morning. You know those who need You as Savior. You know those, Lord, that need to surrender some aspect of their life so that they can be a true servant, serving unhindered in Your ministry. And Lord, You know those who have given and maybe are a little tired. And Lord, You know that we need to just continue on serving because the time is short. Lord, thank You for what You'll do. Thank You for Your word. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed and stand to our feet. Mike has shared with us this challenge regarding servanthood. Are you a true servant of God? Are you fulfilling these requirements? Or maybe you've been holding back on the Lord. I know we're a little over time this morning, but I hope you won't leave unless you really need to. It's a time of invitation is a very important part. We're just going to ask the instruments to play a song concerning a servant's heart. And if you've not given yourself for serving the Lord, maybe you've not trusted Christ as Savior, that's where it all begins. But having trusted Him, maybe you're not really serving Him. And I invite you to come and just kneel here at the altar, or come and share with one of us that you're coming to yield yourself to be a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the instruments play, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, God's speaking to your heart. Would you come this morning? Make such a decision. Let us know of it. Father, thank You that You have not only saved us, but Thou hast given us the opportunity to serve Thee. I pray that we might carry with us this message, that we might think on it, we might meditate on it, continue to ask ourselves, are we truly servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, willing to humble ourselves as he humbled himself, that we might serve him. Pray that you'll be with us as we go and bring us back to the service tonight with great expectation of what you're going to do for us then, in Christ's name. Amen. We have Caroline Cornelius, one of the Cornelius girls, coming for baptism and church membership. And she's going to be here at the front after we're dismissed for just a few minutes. Hope you can come by and greet her before you go on your way. The Dodgins family is going to close our service this morning. Instead of us singing a song, they're going to sing for us. And with that, we'll be dismissed.
Yeah.